I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have next?
We have Robert DeLaurentis here. He's author of the book Zen Pilot. You know, for some reason, I just picture him in a cockpit in a lotus position.
Wait.
Lama, lama, lama,
a
lama,
Zen
lama.
Pilot wouldn't really need an airplane because in the lotus position, he would just fly naturally, right?
Only on Taco Tuesday.
Oh, nice. Nice. Anyway, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on your show, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime. Anyway, interesting book, Passion of Flight. So it's not so much about the mechanics of flight. It's about the philosophy of flight, the magic of flight.
It's about what aviation teaches us about life. So, you know, there are a lot of authors and speakers out there that are talking about how to make you a better pilot by teaching you a better approach. Zen Pilot takes a different tact. It's more... we become better people by the lessons we learn from flying, and as a result, we become better pilots as well.
Okay, that's interesting. It's interesting. I know that, in my limited flight time, I'm one of the perennial students, you clear your head of every other concern when you're in the airplane, because you have to. But that's a mind state that's kind of unusual in everyday life.
Well, you're very much in the moment. You're very present. And I like to say that if you can establish a Zen cockpit, then you're better off in the cockpit as a pilot because, you know, you're using your limbic brain to make decisions. You're very calm. You're open to what's being presented to you, and you're not, you know, reacting without thought. It's kind of like being in the boardroom as opposed to the reptilian brain, which would just be an instantaneous adrenaline-filled reaction.
Well, I guess you, for most people learning to fly, it's such a foreign environment that you have to do exactly that. You have to think about everything, you have to pay attention about everything, and you got to get everything else out of your head.
Yeah, definitely being focused on what you're doing and being present, focusing on your instruments or looking out the window, monitoring the plane, navigating, communicating, all the things we do as pilots. Critical time to be 100% focused.
Okay, so what is the main focus of your book? Obviously, we haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Zen Pilot was about a 2015 circumnavigation I did. And the engine failed 14,000 feet over the Strait of Malacca. And I had 600 pounds of high-octane aviation fuel in the aircraft with me. So I was overloaded, and the oil was spraying on the exhaust, which was about 1,500 degrees. So I dead-sticked 19.6 nautical miles over the Strait of Malacca, over the dense jungles, and then into Kuala Lumpur International, trailing smoke and...
Oh, that must have been slightly exciting.
Wait a minute. Dead stick, you cut the other engine?
No, I had one engine.
Oh, one engine. Okay,
he left the other one home.
I hate when that happens.
Now, you're maybe thinking about the new trip, which is coming up this December, in the Citizen of the World, which is a twin-engine Turbine Commander 900. So that was a Malibu Mirage with a single piston engine.
Okay.
I learned my lesson. I got an extra engine and some turbines
and
that are more reliable.
I switched to turbines, yeah. Much more reliable.
Wow, that's one of those stories you it's great to tell now, but it wasn't so much fun when you were living it.
You know, the funny thing about it is I say if you cheat death once, you're lucky. If you cheat it twice, you're really lucky. And if you cheat it five or six times, you need a better explanation. And that's really what Zen Pilot's about. And it's funny because, you know, at that moment in time when the engine failed, you basically have four possible outcomes. You go into this cosmic negotiation, right? One outcome is the plane is destroyed, you're killed. The second one is the plane is destroyed, you're injured. The third one is the plane's destroyed, you walk away. And the fourth one is the plane survives, you survive. And in a negotiation, you ask for everything, but realistically, you expect you're going to end up somewhere in the middle. And in that case, I won't tell you how it ended. Maybe you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But it was very lucky, and I like to think that happened for a reason, and because of that, I've lectured about the book and, written for AOPI, one of their opinion leader bloggers, many articles out there we've put out, and even now this DVD we're releasing with Glime, which is about overcoming the fear of flying, because somewhere in that process, I became pretty good at dealing with fear. So I'm trying to share that. It's going out to 26,000 high schools around the United States in the next year or two. Very happy about that. It goes out to them for free, and then we're, of course, selling them through Aircraft Spruce, along with the coloring book and the books.
So you put out actual techniques you can use in your own head to overcome your own fear?
Absolutely. There's many techniques in that book. Because, you know, when we go flying, we take our fears with us. And identifying those fears and separating out other people's fears and just dealing with what's affecting us and then methodically going after it, you know, silencing the voices in our heads that are going crazy when you step into a cockpit and then dealing with them. It's kind of like a backpack you carry with rocks in it that are your fears. And as you remove those rocks, you don't need to take them everywhere with you. And then as a pilot, you're flying lighter. It's proven. I mean, it works.
Yeah, that's really cool.
And the funny thing is, you know, I started doing that presentation for AOPA last year at all their fly-ins. What I found is I got a lot of aspiring pilots, and I had intended it to be for pilots that were moving through their ratings, you know, maybe as they're starting to do their instrument work. But I got an awful lot of people coming to that presentation that just wanted to fly, but there was something that scared them.
Right, right. So, wow.
It's not as uncommon as you might think. I know I have one big fear of flying myself, and that's the fear of making a big mistake.
I thought you were going to say gravity.
No, gravity is my friend to a point.
Right, exactly. I had a train of thought and it went out the window.
You too, huh?
Yeah, happens, man, happens. I guess, though, I've always thought that there are certain types of people in emergencies. There are some people where the brain just freezes up, and then there are other people where the thinking increases and they can work their way through. I'd like to believe I'm the number two guy, but can you, I mean, these techniques will help you avoid that brain paralysis during an emergency.
Certainly. And, you know, there are about 40% of the people lock up. And it was funny because I was at Sun and Fun, and I was driving there and was in my rental car, and the squirrel ran across the street and just stopped right in the middle of the street. And my thought was, oh, he's one of the 40%.
You know? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But the idea is, it's the difference between your reptilian brain and your limbic brain. So reptilian brain is about the mother in the SUV who has to lift the weight of the car to get her child out, right? That's adrenaline, and it's going to be with you probably for at least 30 minutes. And think about it, reptiles don't fly planes, so it's not the ideal state to be flying in. So you technically want to stay out of that situation and use your limbic brain. So if you imagine yourself sitting at a board with other board members, it's a very rational, calm, you know, process, you've prepared, and you're ready to execute when you do. And staying in that calm, what I call a Zen cockpit, is the ideal place to be flying.
Well, especially when things don't go as you expect.
As it happens in aviation, right?
Because
you can, what I used to say about Zen pilot is, I'm not concerned about the things I'm prepared for. I'm concerned about the things I haven't been able to anticipate.
Right.
And then
same token, you cannot paralyze yourself by imagining these six gazillion things that might happen.
Right.
You plan for as much as you can and then go.
You know, the funny thing is when that moment happened to me, and I remember reading about Sully Sullenberger on the Hudson, they had the same experience. They basically had this period of time, brief period, where they sort of locked up. They were overwhelmed, and then they got down to business. And that's typically what happens in that situation. You know, you're going to probably freeze for just a little bit, and then you regain your composure and then get to work.
Right. And then what was the phrase? Just like drill.
Yeah.
You train for the emergency, and when it happens, it's just like drill.
Yeah.
So that gets you through it.
On my Malibu, I had a lot of gear issues with that plane, and it was funny because the first time it happened, it was a total panic. After that, it was just like methodical.
No. Again?
Yeah, here we go again. I know what to do.
Right.
And the stress pumps didn't kick in like they did the first time. So,
yeah, I think that's the part of the problem is being able to figure out exactly what's happening. You know, that's the first big issue.
You know, what I used to like to do in the Malibu when I had some free time, maybe when I was waiting for takeoff or just in the hangar with the plane, I would get in the pilot seat and I would sit there and I would close my eyes and then I would imagine things happening. And for a lot of people, you know, they're knocked out on impact if they have to ditch their plane. So I imagine that I'd wake up, my ribs were possibly broken because of the impact with the yoke. I did have airbags, AmSafe airbags in that plane, but you know, a lot of people snap their thumbs too because they forget to rotate them off the yokes. So in that situation, I was thinking, okay, I need to get out of my seatbelt. I might have to cut it out, so I have a knife over here that I can open with one hand, hopefully not with a thumb, right?
Right.
With my teeth. Cut my way out and then feel my way out of the plane. And if I'm inverted at night in the ocean, you know, all of a sudden it gets a lot harder.
Yeah.
And then you've got to grab your survival gear and, you know, you're probably dazed. So visualization is another way that you can handle that.
Okay.
But there are many
techniques. A lot of mind exercises there.
Well, it's funny because I'm working on a blog, two blogs for AOPA, and they wanted to know about the preparations for the polar circumnavigation. First one was the modifications to the plane, and then the next one was going to be personal preparations, but I've broken it up into physical and then psychological preparations, because it is a mind game, right?
You don't think about that much. I mean, people just think, oh, I'll just get in an airplane and go.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, these trips are probably 95% preparation, and then the last 5% is focusing on that leg, because your past successes don't matter and your future ones aren't there yet. So you just need to be in the moment. And it's funny, because when you have all these individual legs, you don't really piece them together on a long trip like this. It takes a few months afterwards to sort of learn the lessons and really see it as one big journey, which is what it is.
Well, when you're doing trips like this, I'm assuming these are multi-day trips with stops.
Right.
Do you keep a diary?
Well, I wrote a book on it. I do a little bit of blogging along the way. Okay. I did some video blogs that are on YouTube as well. And the idea is to record it as it's happening, because some of these things sort of pass you by. But, you know, really to analyze it and think about it takes weeks and maybe even months sometimes. And in Zen Pilot, one of the things I'm most proud of is there are Zen moments in there.
Right.
So those are the lessons you learn. Like, for example, I thought I was some sort of victim of some cosmic punishment at times when the stuff was happening, and I blamed the plane for some of it, but then I realized the plane kept me alive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really always as we see it the first time, first pass.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, Robert. The book is called Zen Pilot by Robert DeLaurentis. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.